Part 6. Beyond the Entrance, where we live, work, play, and worship. An accurate sketch of the other side can't be drawn without stressing that our laws of physics here are antiquated by comparison. So as difficult as I know it is, please try not to limit your images of home by confining them to the annoying, irrelevant spatial constraints we're stuck with here. Housing. I still remember how relieved I was to hear from Francine that we actually have our own places to live at home. Even in paradise, the thought of wandering around without a space to call mine seemed so sad and lost that I wasn't sure that arrangement could ever make me truly happy. And practically speaking, we could live without houses on the other side. In fact, some do, even though, as we'll discuss momentarily, they could easily create them if they wanted to. Our bodies at home, real as they are much less low maintenance than they are here. We can assimilate food for the taste and experience of it if we choose, and prepare food if it's something we happen to like doing. But we don't need to eat or cook. We can lie down and rest if it's something we enjoy, but we don't need sleep. We have hearts that pump blood and lungs that breathe, and we have all other organs as well. Interestingly, they are located on the opposite side of our bodies from where they're located in our bodies on Earth, an exact mirror image of the human anatomy. We aren't inconvenienced, though, by what we'll politely call the earthier bodily functions, so we don't need a handy bathroom to dash to on even an irregular basis. We create our looks and our clothing with the same projected thought with which we created our houses, so we don't need wardrobes and closets and makeup and grooming supplies. And we certainly don't need protection from the elements in an atmosphere of a constantly calm and clear 78 degrees. In other words, there's really no pragmatic purpose to having a residence on the other side at all. And yet most of us do have houses at home, even if we visit them infrequently, for the simple reason that most spirits are naturally soothed and comforted by a place that's ours, an environment, no matter how elaborate or modest, that uniquely represents our lifestyle, preferences, and tastes, a space of singular familiarity whose doors we step through and immediately feel there. The other side itself offers its own sense of home, but creating a home within a home is an experience most of us deeply appreciate, just as we do on Earth. The facile answer to where do we live on the other side is anywhere we want. It also happens to be the truth, because houses there are perfect reflections of the resident's wishes. If you've always wanted to live in a looming stone castle, or a Tudor mansion, or a penthouse, or a gingerbread chalet, or a contemporary split-level ranch, or a modest one-room log cabin, or a communal apartment, that dream is just a quick dimension away. It has nothing to do with what kind of housing you can afford, since there is no money at home, and certainly no concept of status or lack of it. What it has everything to do with is the fact that most of the houses on the other side are built by projected thought. Please don't misunderstand. Houses built by projected thought are not imaginary. Our understanding of the power of projected thought is still in its infancy on Earth. But if it helps bridge the credibility gap, remember that nothing human made exists here that didn't start out as a projected thought. On the other side, we're simply able to jump from the thought to the reality without all the muss and fuss in between. It's not magic, it's a power of the mind. Again, a concept that we on Earth are only beginning to fathom. As important as houses are on the other side, though, they make up only a small fraction of the structures that gorgeously dot the topography and act as bustling centers of constant, exhilarating activity. Among the busiest, most treasured, and most prolific structures of home are the vast libraries, schools, research centers. They're everywhere, and they're as vital to our joy on the other side as our beloved friends and animals. The libraries are supplements of the sacred hall of records, filled with every word ever published and every word being written on the other side that will one day be infused to writers on earth for the benefit of humankind, on every subject imaginable, and many we have yet to fathom. These breathtaking collections of work offer infinite resources for literally anything that interests us, and there isn't a moment when every library throughout paradise isn't alive with eager activity. Structurally, the libraries are as varied and stimulating as the subject matter they house. To list their architectural styles would be to list every architectural style in existence. From small, modest wooden spaces with one or two rooms to sprawling contemporary glass monoliths with what seems like miles of spiral marble staircases winding through floor after floor of shelves upon shelves towards symbolically wide open ceilings. As numerous as the libraries, as constantly populated, as architecturally diverse, are the schools and research centers where, we'll explore later, studies and experiments are eternally ongoing for the good of humankind throughout the universe, as well as for our own enlightenment, because, thank God, we are all created with minds that are infinitely curious and crave stimulation. One of the endless things we could and are slowly learning by infusion from home is that we do our best work and our most effective study in environments that combine beauty and serenity, where we look forward to going and are reluctant to leave. No matter how simple or complex the structures themselves are, cubicles, windowless walls, hard wooden seats, cold linoleum floors, and drab airless hallways are unheard of. Exposure to the magnificence of nature is integral to the design of every classroom and every research lab, and there is not a comfort of the most well-appointed home that isn't available to every student, professor, and researcher. No matter what the ambiance, we would flock to the schools and research centers out of just sheer passion. Their ambiance at home make us count them among our greatest joys.